Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, it's tax time, and you, one, should do a lot better with your finances next year. Thank goodness your iPad can help.
Plus, WWDC, that's right around the corner, a little happier event, a Siri tip, and IFTTT is finally on the iPad.
I never know what to say. All that and Monument Valley on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad Today. Welcome to iPad Today.
Hey, Leo, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you, Sarah?
Oh, I'm doing really good. It was good. Fun before the show started. For any of you who are watching and not the live version of the show, we've had a very fun discussion about 80s music.
Love that.
And it turns out that you and I have very different versions of what made good 80s music.
If you were in the 80s and you can remember it, you weren't there.
Oh. They say that about the 80s now, too, huh?
They say it about every decade.
Okay.
No, I 80s, I don't know. Was that a good time?
Well, see, because I was born in the 70s.
Oh, so you were a child.
I mean, that's when I went to kindergarten, and I, you know, like.
I married my first wife in 1981.
Well,
God, I'm sounding old.
All right. That's when I was in kindergarten. So, you know, and then there's people watching.
So that rumor that you were my first wife clearly couldn't be true.
That would have been illegal in the state of Oregon where I lived at the time. So, yeah, that's not true. Finally, we can put that one to rest.
Her family, many people don't know this, was a roving troupe of Shakespeare minstrels.
You would go we lived
town
in a bus
to town and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And you always were the elf, the dwarf.
And sometimes Hamlet.
Hamlet, occasionally.
Right.
It's great.
Because I was
the
littlest, and it made sense to do that.
So today we're going to cover, we're trying to cheer you up, let's face it.
Yeah.
And doing a terrible job.
This is, if you live outside of the U.S., this is not necessarily the march to death that it is for those of us in the U.S. who have maybe not started our taxes yet, because in exactly a week from now, they better be in the mail so that they're postmarked.
You haven't started your taxes yet?
No.
You know, I do my taxes all year round.
Ugh, please.
You have to.
People like you, really.
I have people who do it for me.
Well, yeah, and well, it's a little different because you're like a business owner and, you know.
Yeah, you know, this business.
Everybody's got different
rules. Twit is part of my taxes, so it's a complicated thing, so I can't do it myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'm going to tell the IRS when they finally figure that out.
And just say, I don't know.
I haven't filed in years.
It's not like I did anything on purpose.
Yeah. No, I remember, though, when I was a little person like you, the horrible, April 15th was horrible. All-nighters. And I remember when they first came out with software that you could finally, you know, TurboTax, do your taxes.
Right.
And stuff. But it's still, you had to get all this stuff together. Computers should have made this easier, and it didn't feel like they did.
Well, the problem is, I think, to this day, really, I mean, we talked about Microsoft Office coming to the iPad last week. The problem is a lot of it is spreadsheet-based, right? If you're going to have some sort of a program that is crunching numbers for you and sort of figuring things out, that is not intuitive to a lot of people.
No.
If you work in those kinds of programs, then it's a little bit different. But for most people, it's like, this is even worse. I hate it. You know, and looking at like a W-2, which of course is, if you know you're full-time employed by something, I get a W-2 from Twit, and you're having to enter all these numbers. It's just very cumbersome.
So the question is, can the iPad help you with this by the time you get to tax time? Can it be a little bit easier? I wish, I hope, I pray it can.
Well, you know, you mentioned TurboTax.
Is there TurboTax for the iPad?
Oh, yeah. TurboTax, which is now owned by Intuit, with pretty much every other financial program that's ever been made.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the nice thing about TurboTax is, and they're just going to ask me to enter my password. Brian, if you will kindly move away for just a second. I don't know. My iPad shot looks a little weird today. But, But what's neat about this is that it does take advantage of the fact that the iPad, what I've done is, you know, there's only so much I can do for you guys because I don't want you to see all my sad financial information. But
but this is what you're going to use.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to use. And the thing that I like about TurboTax is, and I know that the people at TurboTax would not like me to say this, but you can get all the way to the end without filing and it'll tell you what you owe. You know, maybe you're getting a refund. I never get one. I always have to owe money, so I hate doing this, and I drag my feet until the last minute. What's cool about the iPad and just sort of the state of technology as we know it now is it used to be that I had to enter all the stuff into TurboTax, which was a program that I would download on my computer for like $39.95 or something like that. This is a much cheaper option. In fact, I think TurboTax is down to, what, like $9.99 now on the iPad? Let me make sure. When I look
a lot of
on
these,
the App Store.
You'll see free ones, like this says just, free.
It's free, but it won't actually be free.
Because you have to file.
Yeah. You know what it may do?
They make their money when you file.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. So prices start at what does it say, $49.99?
Ooh, that's not cheap.
For your federal tax return, and then
you have to get the state, yeah.
So here's what's interesting about this, though, is like, so I've got TurboTax, and I've just started. I've given them,
a
bunch of personal information. I file as a
single
person.
That's huge. Snap a photo of your W-2.
That's right.
I love that.
This is the new thing, and these actually work really well, because they're designed to pull number
information. Well, it's a form, and so the form's pretty,
And the thing is, if you have a W-2, if you have a 1099, which is it's a common form for people who do freelance work, dividends, all of that stuff just gets basically scanned by your camera on your iPad, the camera on the back, and so TurboTax has all of that information in there for you. What you can do is, once you get to the end and you're ready to, pay, you can either say, okay, I've gotten this far, I'm just going to go ahead and pay.
Or
get a refund.
But you have kind of done it already.
Exactly.
So all the numbers are done.
Last year, for example, I was like, I really feel like I owe so much money right now. Just more than I should. I pay taxes throughout the year so that I don't have to owe all this money? So what I did was I went to a financial, a tax expert. And I had her go through all of my stuff, and I still had to pay most of it. But there were a couple things that she was like, here are ways that we can present this so that you end up saving a little bit more money.
So you use TurboTax to kind of as an organizer.
That's right.
And then you could go to the tax preparer and say,
I got the ballpark, and I was like, I just want somebody who understands taxes a little bit better than me to just give it another pass. Now, of course, you could be really happy with whatever TurboTax tells you, or think, I just want to get it done with. I'm not really trying to, eke out another $100 here or there. And that's fine, too. But it is an extremely well-done product, especially on the iPad, because I did use this last year, even though I didn't like what the results were financially. I thought that the experience was very seamless. So
I'm actually impressed.
Considering that it's a free product up until the point where it's time to file.
Yeah, that's a big help
there. Yeah, it's just it's informational.
There's a competing product, and I have used this when it was on computers, called TaxAct. Mm-hmm. Also, same idea, free. I imagine that when we get to the end, they're going to ask me for some money. But I was impressed because it doesn't seem to have that thing where you take a picture of the W-2. I kind of like that. These are all fairly similar. Let's see. Tax import is part of the Tax Act Deluxe, priced at $9.99 with free e-file. So it's a little bit less expensive.
Hmm.
And similarly, you can try it and you don't pay anything till you have to file. So that's a nice feature. I've used Tax Act for years. The company Tax Act kind of came along as a competitor to TurboTax.
Oh.
And it's all very similar. They ask you the basic questions. The value of all of these is so you don't forget something.
Right.
So you don't forget interest income, for instance, or forget that you can deduct certain things. So it really helps you. You got financial aid as a college kid. You might forget how you use that. And so you can do a FAFSA tax worksheet, things like that. And then I think you're right. I don't think you have to pay, although $10. And the nice thing about e-filing, you don't wait in line. You don't go to the post office. You don't have to get all the stamps. And usually you get your refund faster if you e-file. They want you to do that nowadays. It's more accurate for them. They don't have to get a prisoner in South Dakota entering your data and all that stuff.
So Tax Act, is that Tax Act Central or is that a companion app? Because I'm looking, when I do a search in the App Store, it sounds like there's a couple different
products. It's a Tax Act Free Federal Edition from Tax Act Incorporated.
Excellent. Yes.
Now, do you have a lot of poker earnings? Because poker income is a great solution for anybody who plays poker professionally. And apparently,
I should start playing poker professionally because then I'll just have a lot of money.
Well,
when
I was reviewing available tax programs, I found this. And the idea is you keep track of your winnings as you go. You can actually see profit and loss, dollars per hour, dollars per session, but it also help you do tax calculations. It's the strangest program I've ever seen, but it's free.
Wait. Hold on a second.
Hold on there, says Sarah Lane.
How many people do you think who are watching and or listening who say, finally.
They're busy.
A way to keep track of my many millions of poker winnings.
They're busy, so they're not, it's a free bankroll tracker.
Poker income ultimates.
Weird. It just came up when I was searching and I thought, well.
And you thought we should tell people about this in case they're not sure.
There are in-app purchases you just might want to keep in mind. But hey, if you're winning.
Yeah.
$10.
You're doing something
right. Big deal. It's worth it. Track your poker income. Because the IRS will want to know.
Correct.
I actually had many friends.
That's true.
Believe it or not, like more than a handful of friends who have at one time or another made a living playing poker. It's not as uncommon as you might think.
Like a good living?
They weren't the best dressed people I've ever seen, but apparently they kept body and soul together. I don't know how big they weren't. No, they weren't rolling in the dough, but that's where Poker Tracker could help.
Wow. Okay, so here's another program that I found. It's called LearnVest, and it's kind of cool because it's free, at least for now. This passcode is nonsense, so it doesn't matter. So here's kind of a this is not tax specific. This is. Hey, I am not doing really good with my finances, and I need a little help. This is not unlike a Mint or
Mint and Personal Capital before.
Right.
Those are two of, like, the creme de la creme of these programs. So this, what does this do?
LearnVest is a little bit different. So, all right, let's see if I can go back, actually, until it, because I've almost gotten to the point where we, okay. Well, yeah, we'll go through some of the features here. And this is, again, it's kind of hard to do a tutorial.
I don't even understand what it's doing.
Well, hold on, because I haven't connected anything yet. Because I was like, I'll just set up a dummy account and I'll call myself like Joe Smith. But it's like it doesn't really work unless you actually have a real bank account to connect it to. So what you do is you tell it off the top, "Hey, I'm looking to, for example, here's a." All right, so here's my action program based on what I told it was the trying to get back to the first the my very first slide because that was actually helpful. Not sure if I'm going to be able to do that. All right, so let's go ahead and get rid of Financially Fearless and go back to our priorities, set up some goals. Okay. So this was actually kind of nice. So when you first load up LearnVest, it'll say, okay, well, basically, what do you have in your savings? What do you have to pay off? It, just in general, like let's do some ballpark stuff. And then you say things like, what are your goals here? Do you need to pay down some credit cards? Is that where you're letting it get away from you? Maybe you've got some sort of an investment goal. You really want to buy a house. You want to pay down your mortgage, that sort of thing. So you can tell it a little bit more about, and it's not just that you want to be smarter with your money, but you have very specific goals that you're looking to achieve. So that's, one part of it. If you go ahead and, this would be like assets versus debt, and then my net worth here, everything is zero, which is actually not that far from the truth. But it's because I haven't entered anything because, I don't know you guys that well. So, and then you've got some, transactional stuff. You connect your accounts. And this is where it gets interesting because it has all of these banks that are already in the system. This is all like major banks. So if I say, okay, well, I have a Bank of America bank, then you go ahead and you connect it to your Bank of America bank. You may have a company that you're using for a 401k. You might have multiple 401ks. That's what I always look at when I start to feel really down on myself, because I'm like, well, I am actually really doing quite well when it comes to when I retire. It's just right now that we have a problem with.
That's a good thing. You wanna
sure, yeah.
Prepare for the future.
I'd rather be poor now than poor when I'm 80.
Exactly.
So then you go ahead and you create a budget. Again, this is all stuff that these are placeholders, really, because it's up to you to enter your own information, and then everyone's got a different plan. But I like the look of this. I've always thought that Mint was great in theory, but there's too much that goes into, like, uncategorized when you connect Mint to your bank account, because it's supposed to be pretty good about saying, oh, Sarah bought a muffin at Sightglass Coffee, so we'll just go ahead and put that into her food category. It doesn't work that well for a lot of entertainment options. But anyway, you've got your plan here. You go ahead and you build your goal progress, and then that changes over time as, you know, your money hopefully gets better. But, you know, you buy a trip, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're back to square one. That's me. And then, again, there's insurance policies that you can either say, I have this, I need this. Maybe it's something that's not of a concern to you, because, again, we're all very different. We have different lives and different ways of managing money. And then it's all sort of about maximizing the money that you do have and making it work towards you so that you are enjoying life, but also not being stupid idiot about your finances. So anyway, I like this app. It's free. I'd never heard of it before I started to kind of look into some financial apps, and I like the way it looks. And if anyone else is using it, LearnVest, do let us know, because I would like to hear about you.
Do you do anything to scan in your receipts? Do you keep track, or do you just put it all in a shoebox, that kind of stuff?
I don't use paper receipts at all, ever. I never want them.
Okay, so maybe you didn't know this, but you can deduct things that you purchase for business purposes, or if you took me out to dinner,
right,
you could deduct that because mm-hmm. we talked about business. In order to do that, it's probably a good idea. You don't have to save a receipt, but that way at the end of the year you can offer them and have them as a deduction. Have you ever heard of that idea?
Well, yeah, but it's all on my bank statement, so why do I want paper?
Do people not do receipts anymore?
My mother does. We have had this conversation recently because she was like, yes, I'll take the receipt at the grocery store. And I was like, why?
Because she wants to keep that.
She says it helps her, and so, there's no right or wrong. I just don't like, things.
You're right. Our generation likes receipts. Your generation doesn't. You would like to have everything in the cloud.
Correct.
What if you paid cash? A receipt would help. You ever go to the tea room over here? They don't take credit cards. You got pay. I had lunch. I paid cash, so I kept the receipt because I'm going to deduct that down the road.
Okay.
So there are times when you would want to
do
that, right?
Sure, of course. If you're a cash payer.
So, but you want it on your computer. I understand that. And that's where a receipt scanner comes in. There's two very popular ones. Fujifilm makes one called ScanSnap, and which I've used and I like. And then the Neat company, everybody knows Neat Receipts, has been around for a long time. However, of the two, if you want to use it on the iPad, only Neat has an iPad application, at least one that works well. So my suggestion, if you want to scan in your stuff, get one of the Neat Receipt scanners. Or you don't have to subscribe to the Neat Cloud. And then what's neat about the Neat Receipts on the iPad is you can actually use the camera to take a picture of receipts. So if you have your phone or your iPad with you when you're having that lunch, you take a picture of the receipt. You can then throw it out immediately. So tell mom, you don't have to have the Neat Receipt scanner. You just have to have an account on the Neat Cloud, which is where it all stored. And this interfaces with it. So it can both read your receipts. So if you want to bring this, for instance, to your accountant, bring the iPad to your accountant and have all your receipts online, that's a great thing. You can also give your accountant a login. But you can also add to your receipts by using the camera on your iPad or iPhone.
I love it.
Yeah, I like Neat Receipts.
This is free, and, too.
Yeah, well, because you've subscribed to the cloud.
Oh, I see. I got
it. So it isn't free. But I have to say, it's good for business cards and other stuff, too. Do people still give you business cards? I throw those out.
So. I usually just say, no, thank you.
Don't want it.
It's just get a hold of me some other way.
Guess at my email address.
No, it's just a business card will just, it's like, it goes into some pocket, and then it's...
Yeah.
And then you see it later, and you're just like, ugh.
I got out my suitcase, and it was loaded just the other day. I got out my suitcase. It was loaded with business cards CES 2010.
Right. They just came flowing out.
Didn't really...
And you're not going to
Didn't really need
with
those anymore.
Are you?
No.
Somebody in chat is saying that bank statements do not hold up if you were to get audited by the IRS. That's cray-cray. So you're telling me that I have to keep a receipt for every single... That's just like... That can't be the way that life actually works now.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. I think you have a record of some kind that counts.
Sure.
Now, I do have to say, if you use Evernote, that also works with the scanners. And yes. Evernote's a great solution. So I'm sure you all have Evernote installed. And if you don't, you should.
You should. It's Evernote is so good now with scanning that they can... Evernote can understand...
The text.
Exactly.
That's new.
Yes.
Love that. Keep does that, too. Google Keep does that, too.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, that's what's new.
In the last year.
Evernote's done that for a while, but Google Keep just started doing that yesterday.
Oh.
Yes, actually. Isn't that weird?
This is timely.
Yeah. Yesterday. Is Keep on the iPad? I don't think so. I think it's only on Android.
No. Yeah.
So that's why I didn't mention it on
this
show.
Pretty sure that I would know.
Keep is Google's note application.
So for those of you who are in my boat and thinking, ugh, taxes are the worst, let's just get it over with. We've got some great stuff that will help you file. And for those of you who say, well, I don't live in the U.S. or it doesn't matter or I do it year-round or whatever, also they're just financial apps that throughout the year will make this time of year so much less painless, so much more painless. Less painful.
Less painful.
I want you to have less pain.
Right.
Fewer feelings of pain.
More painless.
More painless. That's a weird thing, right? That's yeah. I got more painless. Okay. So if you would like links to the apps that we mentioned, and for whatever reason, this was all very overwhelming, and there are too many of them that we just talked about, don't worry. They'll always be in our show notes. twit.tv/IPT is our website. In fact, we're in the process of redoing our website. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, you were in on some of those meetings.
In the early stages. Gosh, is that us last week? We look awful.
We look like refugees from a nuclear reactor accident.
Burnett is out to get us.
Why
clearly.
Do you choose that, Brian?
That's something that
why,
he does.
Why that thumbnail, Brian?
Why that one? Leo looks like he's about to pass
we're
out.
Running.
He started like leaning over. It's not good.
Like we're escaping from,
vote, and that's
from
what
Chernobyl.
Decided on.
That's where we're running from. Where it's.
I look like I'm.
The reactor is about to blow.
Sort of asleep. Jeez.
On the bright side, we both have nice tans.
That's right. That's right. And that's what's important. It's important to look tan. twitch.tv/IPT. And for anybody who is not watching live and would like to next week, because things get a little nutty around here in our pre-show, we are on Mondays immediately after triangulation at 12:30 p.m. Pacific, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time.
You know what I'm looking for?
What?
My hat.
But you don't need that yet.
Liz... Could you choose some fine headgear for us for later in the show? Thank you, darling.
Well, that's nice.
Our show today, you must have some gadgets lying around that you just don't want anymore.
Are you kidding?
Our show today is brought to you by Gazelle.
Pearl.
Your Pearl. You know, you can actually get probably a buck or two for that.
You told me last time that I could get $0 for it.
$0.
But I'm holding out hope that it's going to be worth
okay.
a lot someday.
Here's lesson number one. Those gadgets in the drawer, in the closet, they're not getting more valuable. I can promise you this. You know, you've got to wait 100 years before like they're antiques. They're right now they're dropping like, you know, sacks of flour out of a 10-foot tower. That's why you got to go to gazelle.com right now and get that quote. Even if you're not sure you want to sell that iPhone 5 and upgrade to the 5S, I'm sure that you would least like to see what you can get for it. If you do, you've got 30 days to pull the trigger. You don't have to decide right away. In fact, as long as you got one item in there, start lining them up. What is that? Let's go see an iPhone 5 there. One of the old iPhones. I got it. It's on Verizon. Sure, that's good. 64 gigs because, you know me, I always buy more memory. Magic thing. Tell us what it is worth in 3, 2. Gazelle is thinking it's...
Magic thing.
$230.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's going to pay for the 5S. Right there. See, in fact, why have I stuck... Have I held on to the 5 for so dang long? Here's your deal.
Know.
Go there. They will buy used Samsung phones, BlackBerry phones, Apple. In fact, they'll even buy broken Apple iPads
or
iPods.
What about a broken
they'll buy it.
Phone like
Can't guarantee
that.
You they'll give you top dollar
Can you
for that.
You guys see that?
That's your 5S.
Yeah, I know.
Cracked.
I kind of have to do something about this before we shoot i5 on Wednesday.
That's the phone you use?
Yeah.
What happened?
I was jogging. And I didn't realize that it was in my pocket.
Oh, it fell right out.
I thought it was in my little fanny thing that I run with sometimes. But the thing, I've dropped it so many times, but when it hits on the corner, that's when it gets...
Hey, look at that. $125 that's worth. Broken or cracked. Look at that. That's a nice thing. Gazelle, GAZELLE.com. You're going to get paid in either cash or a PayPal credit or an Amazon gift card. That's nice because they'll give you 5% extra if you do the Amazon gift card. You know, I'm not surprised Gazelle has paid out now more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers. Shipping is free. They will send you the box and the mailing label. Processing is fast. If you forget to wipe the data or you can't, don't worry. They'll do it for you. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, Gazelle.com. Sell your gadgets the fast and easy way with Gazelle. We thank them for their support. Remember, you can get the quote right now for 30 days. It's no obligation. So do that anyway.
So WWDC, otherwise known as the Worldwide Developers Conference, is official June 2nd through the 6th at Moscone Center in San Francisco.
That's soon.
Well, it's in two months.
2 months.
It's in exactly 2 months, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. Well, a little less than 2 months, really.
A little less than 2 months.
So are we going to see announcements? This is now the only event Apple does all year. Oh, well, if they don't do a special event. It's the only scheduled event that they do all year.
It's the event that, yeah, we all know that is going to happen. The iPhone and iPad a couple years in a row now have been, what, September and October?
September and October, respectively.
Respectively. So you never know with Apple these days, but maybe...
There are rumors that they may announce a new iPhone sooner than later, particularly a larger one sooner than later, because did you see the memos? So you know that Apple's suing Samsung again,
right?
For 5 software patents this time, and of course in the discovery phase, a lot of documents come out, and we're seeing all these documents. One of which I think it was fairly recent. Apple was concerned that they're losing market share on the iPhone to bigger screen devices. Now, you've been saying we got to have a bigger iPad soon.
Well, I don't know that I
you could take credit for that. Sarah Lane has been telling us all for some time.
I don't think that I said we have to have one. I think that the iPad Pro is a possibility.
Did you? Okay, so there's
that's
one rumor that a bigger iPhone might come out in June. There's also we've seen some pictures of large iPads. They look bigger than normal.
I don't know if I want something so much bigger than this.
I'm sorry, you have to get a new one before the next i5.
I know. That is a reality.
Yes.
God, it sucks. I'm such a loser.
Everyone,
it's probably bad. Like, I'm probably going to, like, inhale some of this.
No, let me tell you, because both my kids have cracked iPhones.
Okay.
You can continue to use it.
Fine.
It's a status symbol among the young people. Got to have a cracked iPhone.
Yeah? Because it's kind of like, I don't even care. I'm a skateboarder.
I am so down. I'm so a man. So,
I just go through life like a wolf.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, got it.
So, but what does happen is if you keep using it, the glass starts to fall apart. And then you're seeing the bare screen and then it's time to fix it.
And then there's got to be something
that... Cut
yourself or... touch something and you're going to hurt.
It's not good.
It's disconcerting for me.
It's not good.
You know? My cat's going to swallow some glass.
I didn't mean to distract you. WWDC.
Yeah,
tell us about it. What else are we going to see at WWDC?
Well, I don't know.
iOS 8?
8. That's the new thing, right? We're already getting
leaks.
We
just got 7.
I know. Just got 7.1, which addresses many of the issues that 7 had. We're all still getting used to 7. I would say, if I had to guess... we've heard that Apple is going to, with iOS 8, we'll probably get some nice previews of what the new Maps iteration will look like. A lot of rumors about Maps finally having integration with these companies that they've bought over the last year or two.
Yeah, because they keep buying things and they don't do anything with them. So let's see some of that.
Yeah, HopStop is a really great transit app that Apple bought. What else did they buy? Embark, which is, it has really good downloadable maps for transit, various transit areas in the U.S. and Canada. I'm not sure if it goes beyond that. I think London as well.
But that's something that Google Maps has and Apple Maps does not.
And Apple Maps has just always lagged, and they need some stuff that's going to wow people, because people like me, now that I have Google Maps on iOS, just say, oh, okay, I'll just use Google Maps and I don't have to be mad about it anymore.
Right.
But Apple obviously doesn't want that to be the case.
Right. We also saw the health book, which is
correct,
like Passbook, but not for money or tickets this time, but for your health records.
And that's got to be connected to some sort of a wearable at some point.
So that's it. You're right. That's what's rushing iOS 8 along, is that it probably has features that are designed to work with an iWatch or whatever it is at Apple.
They have
implied that Apple would do that this year.
But that was also the huge rumor of 2013, was that we were getting an iWatch, and that never happened.
Apple's never said we're doing a watch.
Right.
But they've hired all these people. It's pretty well agreed by all who watch Apple that that's got to be in the works.
Yeah.
Tim Cook has said, we have some exciting, quote, exciting new categories we're going to show you this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I would guess, you know, maybe this is when you talk about it. It's WWDC. We've got a new version of iOS coming to support a new wearable, because WWDC is for developers. This is when Apple says to developers, and we would like you to write software for it.
Yeah.
Now, they may do this in secret. Remember, they do a public keynote, which we will cover, but then they kick the press out. And everybody who gets to stay is a developer who has signed an agreement not to say a word.
Right. That's why they don't let Leo go.
Yeah, because I'm not good at that. That's right. But and actually, it inevitably leaks out, even though they ask people not to say anything.
There are a lot of people who are in this.
We'll hear something.
Specific business of making sure that Apple information is leaked out.
Hear something.
Yeah, so that's something to put on your calendar. Beginning of June, first week of June. Kimberly has a question for you, Leo. Kimberly says, is there an iPad app that lets you see the network security protocol before you join it? Like, for example, if a Wi-Fi network is WEP or WPA.
Oh, that's interesting.
No.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Well, it does once you connect.
Well, no, but go back here.
Okay.
Here's the FBI surveillance van.
All right.
Let's press the I button and see what we can find out about it. We see. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't. You know, it should say. You're right. It doesn't say WPA 2, WEP. What kind of? I presume that's what she wants to know.
Yeah.
She would like to know
her security options before she connects.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Gosh, I always assumed that the I would tell you. Other devices will tell you that. The iPad definitely knows that. I guess I don't see it.
I don't
know.
Kimberly, I'd be very surprised if this is not in the settings, that there would be any app that would be allowed in the App Store that could give you that information. I guess, what's your best option? Connect, and if you don't like what you see, then...
You'll know once you connect, right?
Then you disconnect, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that should be in some sort of a drop-down menu, I would think.
In fact, even after you connect, it doesn't look like you can...
Really?
You can tell. You could do it on a computer. I don't know. I have no idea why it's not on the iPad. And the only reason I would doubt a third-party app would do that is because you would be seeing it before you join it. And I don't think third-party apps get access to that. I think Apple keeps that to themselves.
Right.
So maybe though. I don't know.
I'm trying to, no.
There are Wi-Fi. Oh, wait a minute. There are Wi-Fi analyzer programs. So, you know what? I think you can do that. Let me see what's out there for Wi-Fi analyzers. Because I use a Wi-Fi analyzer all the time on both my Macintosh and my other phones. Because it's a great way to know what's going on in your Wi-Fi. Wow, you know what? This is interesting. I don't see any. I see network analyzers. It may be that Apple does not give a third-party app that kind of information.
Well, but then, so none of us ever know anything?
This is a Wi-Fi scanner. Let's see what it does. Give me a second. I'm going to download it, and we'll find out.
All right. Sounds good.
Because, you know, on a, somebody in the chat room said, and it's true, ask a friend with an Android device. There are plenty of Wi-Fi scanners on other platforms. Net Analyzer, is that on the iPad? Let me just check here. Let's take a look. This is a program called LanPing about, I have to buy the pro version.
Lame.
How much?
Kimberly, it sounds like...
Network Analyzer Pro is $3. Looks like it will do that. Let's look at the screenshots. No. Maybe not. Apple must be hiding that information.
That's so weird, yeah. Though. Especially since it's, you know, if you're particularly if you're a Wi-Fi only iPad and you like to be out and about with it, then you're on all sorts of networks. You'd like to know.
I don't see that information in the screenshots.
And you would think that it would be front and center unless they know that Apple will get irked about it and pull them.
Yeah, maybe that you don't have the access to that information.
Sorry,
not unusual.
Sorry, Kimberly. We'll keep looking.
Net Analyzer. Somebody's saying Net Analyzer. So I'll keep looking. You keep going, and I'll download some other programs to see if I can do it.
Sounds good. We got another question from Mark, who says, is there a way to know in the App Store which apps require Wi-Fi or online access? I wish Apple would require devs to put a statement in the description, the app description, or create some sort of a checkbox for it, because I'm tired of downloading games that can't then be played offline. Then he says, love your show, watch every week. Thank you, Mark. I know the feeling. I hate that, especially when I've got, let's say I'm, this always happens to me when I'm, you know, in a subway, right? And it's like, I'm going to be down there for a while, or we're stuck, and I need to, I don't know, pass some time. And I've got Dots, you know, is a great game that I can play offline, and it'll just connect to Game Center when I'm back online. But not every game does that, because it's just not set up that way. And they should. Apple doesn't force a game developer to do this, but they absolutely should say some in some sort of a front and center way, or Apple should force them so that when we look up a game, you have as much information as possible about it. Kind of the way that now on the left-hand rail, when you look up something in the App Store, let me pull up something real quick. Let's see, what would there be? Let's go featured. Games, all games. Games are always good with in-app purchases. For example, I think Cut the Rope.
You can almost always tell, but you have to know what to look for, right?
I mean, you have information like this now. You know, if something requires in-app purchases, then we know that ahead of time. But it doesn't say things like you must have internet access to access this game, because I hear you. I hate when that happens to me, too, because I just haven't paid that much attention, or I haven't asked somebody ahead of time. And then I'm like, oh, man, I can't actually play this offline. This is not the game for me on a plane, for example. Well, an international one, because most of the planes have Wi-Fi now. But I don't think so. But maybe if we complain loudly enough, then they'll change their protocol. Starts here. What's going on with your net router?
Network Analyzer does not.
No.
I'm now trying something called Thing, which is a network scanner. Let's see if Thing's the thing. This one's free. So I am now this is the one I'm on, but this is only showing me the one I'm on. So I think this really is a limitation. I mean, all of these programs on other platforms can do it, but I think this is a limitation that Apple imposes on iPad and iPhone programs. They just don't have access to that information.
Yeah.
Because Thing would do it, but I don't see that information anywhere.
You must just not be able to.
I've bought $18 worth of programs in the last 30 seconds, and none of them will do it.
Well, that's why we're here. Because we need to exhaust all of our options and our pocketbooks. So you don't have to.
It's an expensive show.
Right. It is sometimes.
But now I have those great, fabulous programs.
I will say that this is one of those shows that I, you know, I love it when I'm like, but I have to buy it. It's research.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at the games that I play. You know, I think from now on, when we talk about games, we will, or any program, we'll say whether it needs net access.
We should.
Most of the games do, but you know.
But not all of them.
Not all of them.
Not all of them. You can have tons of fun on a variety of games with no internet access at all, because those are the games that I play.
I will keep the paper receipts though from Apple on all of those, because they're tax deductible.
Good. I'm glad to hear.
Scanning those in later.
Oh, good. You can't even get a paper receipt from Apple, can
nope.
you?
You can print one.
You can't, yeah.
It'll come in your email, just print it out.
Yeah. Got another email from Rich, who says, I love the show on Twit, so I guess on the network in general. Leo pointed out that there wasn't just a one TV box that has all the apps. Roku doesn't have YouTube, Apple doesn't have Google, Chromecast doesn't support iTunes, etc. Rich says, but there is a simple, cheap solution. Apple's Lightning to Digital AV adapter connects the iPhone or the iPad to HDMI for only $49. And yes, the iPad has all the apps, and you don't even need an Apple TV. Although...
Yeah, I guess it has all the apps. I'm trying to think. It has Amazon streaming. It has...
Yeah.
It has Google streaming. No.
It does require...
Does it have Google Movies? Do Google Play Movies?
Yes.
It does?
Yeah, it does now.
Huh.
Yeah, you've got all that on the iPad now.
Good. All right. Well, this... So think of your iPad as a set-top box.
I don't like to do that. And maybe it's just because I'm so used to AirPlay, so I feel like, oh, if I've got to actually tether it with a wire.
AirPlay will work.
Yeah.
Maybe not on all these apps.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah. HBO Go works on here, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I ended up watching Game of Thrones last night. Yeah. Could not get it to play through my Apple TV. Got it to play through my iPad.
Well. I think you've found a great set-top box. So you connect the Lightning connector to HDMI and put it into your TV.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, you'll have to get up to control it.
Right.
There you go.
Or maybe you could use your iPhone as a remote for your iPad. I think you could do that with a remote application.
Wow.
I think you can.
That's neato.
You can control a device with another iDevice, and then you basically have the coolest set-top box ever made. Why didn't we all think of this? Rich, you're a genius. Thank you very much.
I had no idea that I could put Google Play on my iPad. The movies. That is so exciting.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
They introduced this, what, last fall, I think.
Oh, thank you for telling me. I should watch iPad Today more often.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
I probably just forgot. Don't worry. I'm constantly looking up apps to see if I've downloaded them already so that we can talk about them because they sound really cool. And then I realize that we talked about them already.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time, actually.
There are so many apps.
You
start feeling like...
There's a lot of stuff going on.
There's just a lot going on.
Busy, busy, busy.
We do love getting all of your emails and your voicemails. A couple more. We got one from Moses, who lives in Salem. Moses has a bit of a bone to pick with us. Says, I was deeply appalled when you mentioned that Pages and other iWork apps are too basic. They're not complete. They can't compete with other apps such as Google or Office apps. Moses says, I recently returned to college to finish my degree. I've been using nothing but my iPad and iWork's Pages. The interface seems sparse and without features, yet only if you don't know how the app works. If you learn how to use the app, I would respectfully argue that it is fully functional. I currently hold a 4.0 GPA.
Well, there you go.
Then he knocks on wood, and I will do that as well. Pages was exceptionally useful with my recent 50-page term paper in world regional geography that included tables, graphs, images, and any other special formatting that I could ever imagine. Love the show.
Well, the good news is they are adding features back into Pages. They redid the apps. They wanted to make them compatible across all platforms.
Yeah.
And when they changed the apps on the desktop, they stripped out functionality in the iPad versions of them. So I think that maybe is what we're comparing it to. Am I wrong? Previous versions had more capability. I think they've updated these.
Well,
but I noticed
I think Moses' point is
they are adding
just seems... features.
Well, okay, you couldn't search docs by name until now,
right?
I mean, so there are little things that they're slowly adding back. It's getting there. I don't know what to say. It's getting there. They have change tracking. They have different formatting. It's pretty good. The thing is, and I guess this is the real point of this, is it depends on what you need.
Yeah.
If your needs are basic, this is a great basic app.
Well, see, that was Moses' point was, but it's not basic. The thing is that I don't know.
It depends what you need.
It depends what you need, yeah. And also if you take the time to learn a program inside and out, and you're not comparing it to something else, and it has all the features that you would need. Well, sure, of course you would say that it's perfect, and I'm glad that it is. And you sound extremely smart. I mean.
Well, if he
4.0 man,
he's
and
smart.
Geography,
all right.
So
one of the things I need I'm looking to see if I can find it. I need a word count.
Okay.
Because when I write for magazines and newspapers, they want to know how many words you wrote.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me. I don't think there's a word count in here. Now,
I've never looked.
There is in Google Docs. Mm-hmm. There is in Microsoft Office. Now, if you don't need a word count, then you're not going to say, oh, well, this is a limited program.
Sure.
But if you do, then it's then it is. At least it prints, which Office does not. So
there is that.
I guess it depends what you need, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I think Pages is fine. I actually really like Keynote on the iPad. But again, Keynote used to be a little bit, do a little more. I seemed to, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like it used to do a little bit more. There is word count in the Pages app. Knox Harrington said there's a word count.
You know, we sort of glossed over this earlier in the show, but since you mentioned Microsoft Office for iPad, Microsoft says those apps hit 12 million downloads in a week after they got released, which was about a week
ago. Yeah, now remember, it's three apps.
Right.
So that's 4 million each.
Sure.
Because most people probably downloaded all three of them.
I would think so.
But still, that's good.
I think so, too.
In a weekend? I'll take it.
I know.
They were number one on the store.
Yeah, it was more like a week. But still, it's
pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so.
Tap the tools icon, go to settings. Oh, well, there you go. It's in settings.
Oh, so it is there somewhere.
Word count is, aha, thank you. That's actually great. Apologize. Apparently it was off by default. Didn't know that. There is a you see, that kind of underscores what he said. If you know where to look.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have looked in settings for word count.
That's one of the things that I think is, it's easy to miss a little something, especially on an iPad app, because if you've got all of these settings, and let's say in Google Docs, it's something that you can pull up really quickly, and you can't find it in Pages. Then
it's
you
in
just
the
go,
menu in Google Docs. It's in the, you know, at where you'd expect in the tools menu.
Yeah, rather than hidden, so everything's clean. Apple sometimes their native apps, I find, I never think, oh, they're not functional enough, but they can sometimes be a little unintuitive. For the sake of being really artistically nice, does that make sense? Designed well, nice and clean.
This to me,
and then you wonder where all your
features
are.
It looks kind of barren.
Kind of a barren
wasteland. It's the iOS 7 look and feel.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's move on to something that's a little bit more fun.
Okay.
Ben has a little Siri dud tip, and he decided to call in and let us know.
Hi, Leo and Sarah. It's Ben from Omaha. I have a Siri dud tip. If you want to shut Siri down, just say, shut down, and she'll say, okay.
Wait a minute.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
Wait a minute.
Wait, so, hey, what's the weather?
The weather's looking good between today and Saturday.
You don't have audio plugged into there. So
oh, I don't? Oh, sorry, you guys can't even hear my Siri.
But we see the weather. It's a beautiful day. What are we doing in here?
Oh, my gosh. It's freaking hot.
I must have
shut
down Siri because she's not responding anymore.
Oh, great. Great. Your Siri just walked away.
I did
away.
The duh tip.
Okay, so let me. What's the weather going to be like in Palm Springs this weekend?
Yeah, Siri's turned off for some reason.
I don't seem to be able to get weather information right now. Please try again later.
Oh, it says in the Springs. Weather for Palm Springs this weekend.
You going to Palm Springs this weekend?
Sorry, I can't check the weather that far out, but I can give you the forecast for the next 5 days.
Oh, I see. She doesn't consider Saturday the weekend.
That's good
Whatever.
Enough, Siri.
I am going to Palm Springs this weekend for the first time, and I'm apparently...
Disable.
All right, here's what I got.
No, here's what you do.
What?
Disable! Okay. No, you say... You didn't listen to Ben's tip.
What's the tip?
Shut down.
Shut up.
Okay, Sarah. See you later.
Nice.
Oh, and then she exits herself.
She told me that's not nice.
She did?
Oh, I
said
shut...
Well, you said shut up.
Oh, you... Shut down, not
shut
up.
Shut down.
Okay.
Shut up means you suck. Shut down means, Siri, I'd like you to have a nap.
I'm glad
you look
Siri
tired.
Defends her honor.
See, you're sabotaging, though. I'm trying to show off a nice little tip.
Shut down is a good one.
And
it
then
works.
You yell. And then you yell at her. And then you wonder why she gets bristly with you. Yeah, oh, I never thought about that. I actually
Shuts
do.
Down.
I guess that's kind of nice.
Oh, you're going to Coachella.
That's right.
That's near Palm. You could say, what's the weather like in Coachella? It's probably really hot. That's a town, you know, Coachella.
Oh, I thought it was Indio was the town.
Well, Coachella's
well, let's
a
find
town,
out.
Too.
What's the weather like in Coachella?
It should be nice in Coachella between today and Saturday.
See,
up
there you
99
go.
Degrees
what do you mean by nice?
You better
you
wear
mean,
your
I'm
short
going to
shorts.
Die.
Yeah.
Is it
99 degrees? Is that what it's saying?
Well,
there?
It's just wow. Friday 93, Saturday 90.
Oh, it's I'm cooling
gonna,
off.
I'm going to be there till. Aww. Anything above 80 is too dang hot.
It's okay. Winter is coming. Just remember that.
That's correct. I'll just have people throw ice at me all day. Just chuck ice at me. It's kind of fun. Make it a game.
There's ways to stay right, cool.
So
you
now,
get that spritzer with a fan on
and
it.
And then you go. Shut down.
Okay. See you later.
But does she stay shut it down?
Yeah, look. Now it's gone. You know, like I'd have to engage Siri again.
But you could press a button. It didn't turn. It didn't disable it.
No, I'm not disabling her. I just wanted to get out of
get
the
her
Siri
off the screen.
Yeah.
Or you could press the home button.
That too.
But since you,
you know what? Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I doubt your commitment to DuhTips. Okay.
But I'm just saying, in order to get Shira to shut down, you had to press the home button and hold it.
Her name isn't Shira. It's Siri.
Let me try it. Shut up, Shira. My lips are sealed. See, that worked.
Wow.
So the key is to call Shira.
Shut up, Shira.
Then she shuts up.
And she says, I won't say a thing. I would never give you up. Okay, well, I think that we're pretty much done with all of our viewer feedback. I'm going to go ahead and wander around and find an app.
Well, that means it must be time for me to tell the world about Audible.com. I'm a big fan, you know, audiblepodcast.com.
As you should be.
/iPad today be the place to go if you would like to get a free book, a free audio book from Audible. Audible is 150,000 titles. 150,000 titles. Great stuff, too. So what we're going to do is get you to the audiblepodcast.com/iPad today page. You can sign up for a gold account. That's a book a month, but your first month is free. Your first book is free. You also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. All of that, yours to keep. Cancel anytime. In the first 30 days, you'll pay nothing. But I don't think you're going to want to cancel. Oh, that's the next book I'm reading, Flash Boys. That's the new Michael Lewis book. You know, he wrote, he's written so many great books. He was a Wall Street trader. And so he wrote, what was it called? I think it's down there. He also wrote Billy Ball. What was it called? There you go.
Moneyball?
The Big Short. I loved that. Moneyball, he wrote. The story of the Oakland A's and how they changed the world. Liar's Poker was his first one. And that was an amazing story about his own experiences on Wall Street. So he knows a little bit about Wall Street. And I got to tell you, these are great. Now, that's abridged. Don't get the abridged one. Get the unabridged one. In the old days, Audible had a lot of abridged books. But now the good news is most of their books are unabridged. And you want every word, of course. Don't feel like listening to an audiobook has to be in any way, a less good experience. Moneyball was great. Moneyball told the story of how Billy Bean, working for a team that had a very limited budget, made a pennant-winning team with the Oakland A's by paying attention to stats, by thinking out of the box. You probably saw the movie with Brad Pitt.
They didn't even win a World Series. Didn't do that well.
Well, they did okay.
Well, just okay.
You're a Giants fan, I can tell. The book is great. If you love baseball, but again, the new one, Flash Boys, is really getting people talking about high-frequency traders on Wall Street. It's a little-known but kind of creepy little business. I cannot. That's actually, I just downloaded that one. It's one of my newest books. But you don't have to listen to that. They have great fiction too. Do you like Patient Zero? Yeah, that's a great book. Love that. I think who read that? Was it Will Wheaton? There's so many excellent books there on Audible.com. The hard part is picking your first one. But once you start listening, you're never going to stop. At the gym, in the car, during your commute, when you're walking the dog, Audible, or your cat. You can walk your cat. Audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Great Stephen King books. Malcolm Gladwell's new book is on there. I can't wait to read that. audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Enjoy. Enjoy. So it's time to put on some hats because my
I'm way ahead of you. I'm already wearing my hat.
You look like you're going to Palm Springs or maybe Indio, perhaps Coachella.
Maybe I will take this purple hat with me.
You should. That'll keep
it's
the sun
weird.
Off
it
your
looks,
head.
It looks purple on the
it's
screen,
lavender.
But it's...
It's blue in real life.
Well, I think we didn't mean to go through this pewter or...
Is that the same stupid hat? Here, wear this one instead, please.
All right, fine.
I don't want to go through that conversation again. I look like I'm about to go to the track and lay a $1.50 down on a trifecta.
And you should.
I think I might.
We've determined.
It's white and black.
This is weird.
Very noir.
Very.
Oh.
You
know, I like Brian Barnett, our technical director, just turned the whole thing black and white. I like it.
It's, you know, we should kind of...
Do we have
that... backwards, or is it supposed to be like... It's supposed to be like this, right? Because it's how you take your hat off.
It, okay, there's a story behind that. It's forwards.
It's
Liz Romero brought me that from Key West, Florida.
Okay.
And, but she had, in order to get it here, she had to roll it up and put it in her suitcase, so it's a little smushed.
Oh.
And it needs to be formed.
Oh.
You need to... Use your fingers to get the brim just right, like this one.
Yeah, sure. It's whatever.
Oh, I know what I look like. Mrs. Doubtfire.
You know, I was like, can I have to buy myself a hat? And I realized...
You don't need to buy a hat, darling.
That's the one thing I never need to do.
Coles to Newcastle. You just come on in. You go into my office. You pick the hat of your choice.
Great.
We only charge $1.50 a day.
Cool.
$5 a day
late fee.
It's
going to be a lot less than the beer I'm buying down in Coachella. Okay, so this, I'm really excited about this app, and I know a lot of you have already played it.
What is it?
Oh, and if not, you've already heard of it.
I want it.
This is Monument Valley.
Okay, downloading.
So this is...
that looks so good. I don't even know why.
It was an editor's choice, so I felt like it got some love over the weekend. It was interesting, actually. Some people that I know who are kind of in the app development business, a common complaint was it was over too quickly. It was sort of easy to finish the game.
I don't mind that.
Me either.
I'll take it.
Keeps my blood pressure down.
Yeah.
All right. So we're.
I'm not going to roll a marble around, am I?
No.
Good. All right.
No, not at all. All right. So this is actually, I've been through this one before, but just for our purposes, you can see that you've got your little gal here, and you're like, okay, well, she's obviously sort of, stuck in some sort of a way. So now what happens? What you do is you get to a point where you can then manipulate.
Oh, this reminds me a little bit of Journey, which was a big hit on the PlayStation 3, an indie game.
Oh, was it?
Didn't have any shooting. It was called Journey. And the music and the feeling and the character even remind me a little bit of that.
It's, I heard it as compared to, almost like an M.C. Escher type of a feel.
Well, because of the geometry of the monument that you're wandering.
Right.
You know, it's funny, because I saw somebody, maybe my nephew, tweeted how much he liked this game over the weekend. Yeah. Oh, you found something. Oh, very clever.
So now it's like, now what do I do?
But see, you already knew this. So how hard was this? To figure out how to wander around.
I would say...
There's no shooting, right? This is a peaceful game.
Yeah, totally.
You're exploring. You're trying to figure out how to get about.
How did I do this?
And I presume get somewhere.
Why won't you let me change things?
It reminds me a little bit of Myst or these other puzzle games where you have to interact with an environment and figure out how to... Solve puzzles, that kind of thing.
Oh, did I do it too early?
Monument Valley.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know what, you guys?
It's $3.99.
Criminy.
And you may... And those of you who said this game is too short, you've never seen Sarah Leigh play it.
This is... I'm like, maybe I thought this was the level that I just did, and it looks exactly the same,
but
and it's just a different...
Not.
But it's not. However...
This is a big download. This is not an online game. You can play this in the airplane.
That's correct. Yeah, it took forever to download.
It is. It's taken me a long time.
You guys...
You know what? This reminds me of Neal Stephenson's novel Anathem. I don't know why. I just thought I'd throw that
in. No, my left thumb is not touching anything.
Otherwise, going to sit here and watch you try to play this game.
Now, some people who are familiar with this game are saying it seems like something's wrong with the app because it's not functioning normally.
That's what... You're supposed to think.
No, I think that there's really something.
There's an M.C. Escher.
The thing, though, is that if you look at this, because I know how these work, is once I go up, I mean, there is nothing I can do to twist it because I've gotten myself into a jam.
So it's a puzzle game in that respect. You
You have to figure it out. Also, by the way, portrait mode only. Mm-hmm. Monument Valley. It's about $3.99.
Kind of bugs me. My thumb is not touching it. Slow finger, not touching it. See?
Ooh. Tap the path to move Ida. Oh, that's Ida.
Yeah, Ida's got some problems. Okay, so here we go.
Rotate.
For whatever reason, the app was nutty beforehand. So this is, it's either cute. Like your bag or it isn't, right? I like
it's pretty.
Because...
I like the music.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It'd be a lot better if there were a dinosaur egg somewhere involved.
Yeah. You're never going to get tired of that joke, huh? Complete. Very good.
Only when you stop getting annoyed, that's when I'll stop telling it.
I see. I just have to...
Just pretend it doesn't bother you.
But no, it's I like it. I think it's cool.
I love the music. I love the feeling to it.
Yeah. It's, you know, and then, obviously, okay, so now we're going to go into numéro trois, and then we've got another little guy to get through here.
Apparently your left thumb was causing the problem.
Oh, God, was it my left thumb? Yeah. I'm sorry, I yelled at you, sir. You were right. Yeah. You were only trying to help. Yeah, see, you know, that's sort of the problem with them.
My left thumb?
And foot.
Yeah.
No, when you're trying to demo something with a large hat in portrait mode, it just doesn't...
I'm sure everybody in the world understands that feeling.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's like, all right, well, now I'm on some new level, and I've got to figure out... All right, so she wants to climb. Come on, keep on going.
You ever heard of if this, then that?
Yes, I have. Put me out of my misery here and tell me how to create an action so that I can toggle another.
Actually, let me sign into my if this then that account. Would be nice.
By the way, Monument Valley, $4.
$4, yeah. Yep. I just bought it. I thought that, to me, I like that a lot. Yeah. I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
Crumity bum bum.
What?
I have to go look up my password for this. Tell people what if this then that is.
So this is actually an app that has been on the web as it basically is, let's say that you would like to set up, remember Yahoo Pipes? Anybody who ever set up any action, what?
This is a very bad explanation.
No, shut up. I'll get there.
Remember Yahoo Pipes.
I'll get there.
Not where you want to go with this, I don't think.
No, Yahoo Pipes was actually a really great product.
Yeah, but if you don't remember Yahoo Pipes,
it's
not helpful.
Let's say that every time, this is in their little explainer on the developer page. Let's say every time the New York Times... post something, you want to toggle some sort of a tweet.
If this,
yes,
then that.
Let's say every time I've got one, I'm not using it anymore because
these are recipes. I've got it up now.
That's what they call them, recipes. Yeah. I had one that I set up for a while that was every time I post a picture to Instagram, I want a copy of that to go to my Dropbox.
So the idea is this can be a variety of things. And that can be a variety of things. So the way this works is you want to first start up by adding all the thises, okay? Now, the good news is this is a great... They've been around for long enough now that there are a lot of thises. You
yes.
can attach to a great many things that you might be doing. 500px app.net. Automatic, which is something I just got. It's a car a thing you plug into your car. So when you can say, for instance... When automatic signals that the new trip has been completed, but I haven't activated my channel yet. So that's one thing you'll have to do with the channels. But I could say, send a tweet to the world saying, trip completed, I am here. Here's Bitly, here's Blogger. You can. This is a package tracker, so I can, for instance, have a text message sent to me when a package arrives at my door. If, you know, they don't do it already. BuzzFeed, Campfire, you know, we're using... Basecamp as one of our tools during the web design. Mm-hmm. I could say anytime I get an idea, make sure you tweet it or things like that. I'll show you some of my... So these are the triggers. So let's say Facebook. Anytime there's a new status message by me, now here's that. If there's a new status message by me, and again, it can be all of these things, I want to append it or create a note in Evernote.
Yeah.
So now, anytime I change my status message, now this is kind of a silly thing, but it's an example of what can be done.
Yeah.
Anytime I change my status message on Facebook, I save it into my Evernote. Now, the whole point is you've got to have a lot of different things to plug into. So you want to sign up all your accounts. As you can see, I've signed up a great many of mine. If a new Flickr photo comes in from any of my friends, I can say, send a text message. If I get a Gmail, here's a useful one. If I get a new email from my mom, text me so I don't forget to message her.
You know what
if
you can also
Kevin
do?
Kevin Rose posts an Instagram photo, let me know about that.
Because
that's
it's
the kind
probably...
Probably something I want... A newsworthy.
There's probably an angry mob involved.
There may be a raccoon, there may be a mob. He seems to use Instagram as his news feed. So look at all... Here's... If I get a phone call, if leave any voicemail. So if I get a voicemail, I can actually... That's interesting. I don't... Leave... What does this mean? So I can save a phone call into my Evernote? Wow. Create a note.
Ooh, that's cool.
See, what happens... And now, here's the thing. You may not immediately know what you could do with this. Fortunately, they have a lot of sample recipes. They have recommended recipes. I have my Hue lights turn on at sunset, for instance.
Nice.
Because my lights are connected to this. The more things you connect, the better. I have quite a few recipes here. If I, for instance, mark something watch later on YouTube, it saves it to Pocket, so I can then watch it on Pocket. If I have a screensaver, by the way, I love it, of editor's choice photos from 500px. So all this monitors 500px, which is a great photo site. When it gets another editor's choice photo, it downloads it, puts it in my Dropbox, and then I make a screensaver out of it. This I could just go on and on and on. This is so much fun. They have sample recipes. Is it going to rain tomorrow? Get an iOS notification.
Yeah, and that's
handy.
That's actually very, if you think about it, it's like you mentioned texting. You can use
text me the weather every morning.
But you can get just a push notification.
Right.
You don't even have to get an SMS. So
I
you can almost control your iOS notification center through this app if you really want to.
The thing that makes this the most interesting is the variety of inputs and outputs it has. I know, I've
your little stand is made of grease today.
It's a little bit sloppy. So what you want to see is, and they are adding new things all the time to this list of possible actions. And that's really fantastic. I mean, eventually, this is the kind of thing that makes the Internet of Things work.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an insurrection in Soweto, I can have my Hue lights turn red.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I'd want to do that, but I could.
You could.
If you have a Wemo, look at all the Wemo actions. If somebody comes in my front door, I can have Wemo send me a text message, for instance.
Saying, you've got an intruder.
You've got an intruder. A intruder alert. So
send Ozzy out.
What's great about this is this is all free. This site has been adding plugins for a couple of years now. The variety is amazing. I really love it. And finally, there's an iPad app, and you can see they've... You know, you could always do this on the web. This was web-based before, but
mm-hmm.
I think...
And there was an iPhone app, but it was never universal until now.
Right. They've just... This is nice. And this looks a little bit like the iTunes Store, which I like. So these are collections of recipes. Recipes for the nature lover, for New York City. You're a constant traveler. Let's see what they've got. Add your Foursquare history to your Google Calendar. When I arrive home, let my family know with a color loop. I walk in the door, my Hue lights start cycling. Daddy's home! Daddy's home! And all of my little robots get excited. World tour, whenever you land, tell your Facebook friends your wheels down. Isn't that cool? That's from a website called, I think, Jet Set Go. Is that it? So there's a lot of really nice stuff in here that I'm very happy about. I do have the automatic device in my car. That's making my car part of the Internet of Things. So it can be added to my if this then that recipes as well.
It's very nicely done, considering that you know the action stuff can sometimes be a little bit, I don't know. It's very helpful when an app like this is designed well, so you go, oh, I totally get what's going on here,
right.
Rather than having to build some sort of a
right,
you know, here's sort of the quicksilvers of computing that I know a lot of people thought were just a little too convoluted.
And I commend them for actually adopting the iTunes interface here.
Sure.
Because it makes it so much more sensible for us iPad users. Featured, all-time top recipes, trending recipes, recently added recipes. This is actually a better experience than the website was. IFTTT, if this, then that.
And free.
Free.
And a free app.
Service is free, too.
Go nuts. Make your own recipes.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, yum.
I use if this and that all the time. I love it.
It's a good one. It's a really good one. And it's nice to see that it's on the iPad
as well. I made a recipe to notify me when the Nexus 5 phone came out, for instance, so I could order it right away. So it was monitoring the Google website.
You can just, there you go.
So many things you can do with it.
That's smart.
When Sarah and Leo get new hats.
You would like a push notification.
Right. Ring my doorbell.
Right. Hello. Oh. All right. That's it for this edition of iPad Today. I was like, what's next? Oh, no, we're done. We're actually done. We've been wearing these hats for a while. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. For anybody who is joining us here live on Monday, we're actually doing a special encore episode of iPad Today immediately after Tech News Tonight, TN2, so about 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time.
Tonight.
For everybody else, you're going to get your episode next Monday as usual, and don't even worry about this little piece of housekeeping. But I thought I would let you know just in case you want to hang out.
My obituary is posted, launch
Kill you.
The demon. Oh. No, I'm already dead.
Well, are you, though?
Suggested that one.
What if, you know, it's one of those New York Times whoopsies, we just printed
that could be bad.
Leo's obituary. Mm. Then we've got a demon on the loose. Mm. I don't know if I'm ready for that jelly. Mm. What does it even look like? I kind of want to see it now. Okay, thanks everybody for watching iPad Today. We'll see you next time. Ow!
Send in the clone.